All right, so it is saying that we are live. So hello everyone and welcome to Friday Night Feels. I think I jinxed myself the last couple of times because I had really good luck with technology, and now the technology gnomes are not happy with me. So one of the things, and I'm going to introduce our amazing guests in just a minute. I'm Patrick Manette, licensed mental health counselor. And for those of you maybe joining us for the first time, this is Friday Night Feels. And what we discovered is that for whatever reason, our internet is not letting us show our video. So it's going to be just audio tonight. So we hope that you are good with that. And we're lucky. Sorry. Okay. So tonight I have two amazing guests, a mother and son duo, Sam and Gina Mitchell. And Gina and I met in a Facebook group for podcasts and networking, all of this, and we started to get to talking, and she told me about her amazing son, Sam. And Sam has created his own podcast, which after looking at his website and everything he's doing, I feel like I have a celebrity on Friday Night Feels tonight, because he just, the work that he's doing is just amazing. And his podcast is called Autism Rock and Roll. And I'm just so excited, Sam and Gina, that you're here with us. And, you know, welcome to Friday Night Feels.
Thank you very much. We are really happy to be here.
Yeah, we are. And Jinx, you owe me a coat.
Thanks for having us.
So, you know, can you tell me a little bit about, you know, it's really interesting because when I was looking at your website, so the website is autismrockandroll.com. Is that correct?
It's rocks and rolls.
Rocks and Roads. Okay. So what I'll do is I'll make sure when I post this that I'll put the website in so people can find it, because not only does it have all the information that you do, the podcast that you do and that you're on, you also have some amazing resources to help educate and fight the stigma on autism, which I think we need much more of. So I'm just so excited that you're here.
Thank you.
So can you tell me a little bit about how this revolution that you started got going?
Well, it's not a revolution, it's an evolution, I think.
Oh, yes, I stand corrected. I like that.
But thank you, though. But I would say it started with our school's dance marathon. I'm not like a Riley kid or anything, but my best friend is, and he goes to Riley for like wound stuff and for medical stuff, but it's a hospital where kids go if they're going to die or really sick. And but they produce some really good things also. They have a dance marathon where we dance 24 hours, you get do fun things. But our school had our first annual one, and I thought, I see people come down with these cameras and microphones. I'm wondering, what are they doing? So I asked the person who was in charge. They said, join next year. Okay. Fast forward next year, that's where I found the podcasting. That's what I do with my, I do some episodes of my school's podcast Thundercast, and I also, well, after a while it got a little stale. Thundercast, it got stale. I want to add something to it. So the best way to not quit Thundercast but also move forward was to make a homemade podcast, as they say, and that's where Autism Rocks and Rolls began.
Oh wow. And so tell me a little bit, so you have autism, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And when did you discover that? What was that journey and that experience like for you to go through?
Well, he always, when someone asks, Sam feels like I'm better equipped to answer this, and I always okay. tell him, you know, you can tell what you remember, but
I don't remember that. I was 4 years old.
Yeah, that's true. He's little. So the journey really has been when I was pregnant, it was a very normal pregnancy. I was really sick really sick, like, you know, sick 3-4 times a day for 5 or 6 months. It was actually it was dangerous. Like, it was horrible. But then it was kind of quit towards the end of the pregnancy. And then he was born emergency C-section because I was having some issues. And then as he got older, you know, when he was a baby still, we noticed he wasn't hitting his milestones. He crawled and walked and pulled up. He did all of that, but like really fast. And he, I'm a teacher, and okay. I've done some like brain studies and stuff just through my education. And I know with children, it is probably best with their motor skills and even like future abilities that they do kind of hit their milestones the way that they should. You know, like they crawl first or they roll over and then they crawl first. And he didn't really do that. So as he got older too, he was just not talking. And at when he was two, I think he was saying like 10 words. And so
that was goo goo gaga.
You said other things, but that was kind of flagged, and we put him in speech therapy, and then he started just having very peculiar behaviors for like a 2 year old, like a 2 year old. He would, you know, really have some meltdowns, and until we really learned about autism, I just thought it was like tantrums because, you know, they say like when kids are two and three, they're terrible
twos, right?
Yeah, but it was like intense. And then he was very sensitive to noises. He hated his routine changed. And that was some of the biggest meltdowns is when, even when he was in preschool, I would pick him up and I would be like, hey, we're going to run to Walmart. And he was like, but you didn't tell me that this morning and we didn't do that yesterday. So we couldn't really change the routine. And then the biggest behavior was he would take his toys and he wouldn't play with them. And I thought it was kind of cool because he was very sophisticated with his toys.
Right.
He would like sort them. And but his biggest thing was he would line them up and he would know, like, I mean, he would literally have 200 toys, like little pieces of food, and he would line them up all around the house. And if you messed them up, he knew it. And it was very, very peculiar behavior. So I wasn't surprised when they told us that when he was four, that he was on the autism spectrum. And then, you know, I would say, and I feel bad saying it, but it's the truth. And I'm pretty sure if moms...
The truth will set you free though.
Yeah.
That's right. <true.
laughs> But I'm pretty sure if other moms would tell the honest truth, I'm sure this is a pretty common feeling, but I was very upset. Like I was really sad, and I just, this picture perfect, like, you know, like frolicking in the park, and, you know, I have this child, and
well, the dreams you have as a parent, right, of just what you see with other people.
Yeah, and I'm like, what is happening? And I was really bitter, right. Really mad. I didn't have anybody or anything to be mad at, but, you know, I did everything right. I ate well, I read him books when he was in my stomach, I let him listen to music. I mean, I just did everything by the book.
Right.
And, took him places and talked to him constantly. And I'm like, why would my son have autism? I mean, why would this happen? But that was pretty short lived. So we started educating ourselves. And then we've just been, for years, have just been giving him the resources to be successful. And never really, we've always recognized he has autism. I mean, it's brain wiring. That's what it is. But we've never really, I've never really like babied him. I mean, I still have expectations.
But not the strict expectations.
Yeah. But I still expect him to, you know, take out the trash. He still has to. He still has to function. And so we've always told him that, like, we will help you and we understand, but this is still what has to happen. So, and I think that's, he's responsible for really overcoming some things, but I think the help and just kind of the way we've treated the situation, I'm sure couldn't have hurt with his success right now. So right. That's kind of the long answer.
Oh, no, it's really helpful. And, you know, one of the things I think I remember, like being a mental health counselor, is just, you know, wanting to be aware of what the stigmas are and what would you like people to know to help, like you were saying, Sam, how to evolve the vision of what people think autism is. Because I think for a long time, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, there was a lot of judgment about it, a lot of harsh judgment about if you were autistic, then something was wrong with you.
Yeah.
There still is.
And there still is. Absolutely. But I don't agree with that. I don't agree. Because I think even though people think we're dumb or stupid, for all the bad words you can think about, that's not true. Right. It's wrong. Right. I mean, granted, I mean, yeah, we'll find some struggles. I mean, it may not be the typical struggles of that's not, no, learn how to cook or same can't live on their own, but yet I can still do the podcasting. Yet I know a friend who's autistic, she's probably a really good writer.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and just to piggyback off of that too, I mean, as a mother from someone who is on the autism spectrum, I mean, I've seen the subtle stigmatization of like that's happening with autism. I think it's probably better as researchers and doctors and, you know, the world understands it better. I mean, it's definitely better than, you know, 20 to 30 years ago.
Right.
But I still see, you know, like to this day, Sam will be around people and it's hard to explain. He's excluded. They're not mean to him. And when he tries to, and I'm not saying everybody, I just still see it. And, you know, when he tells me about things, but it's almost like somebody that's not on the autism spectrum in their mind, in lots of people's minds, it's easier. It's easier to talk to what society calls a typical person.
Right.
Because
right.
you don't have to think about it as hard. And, you know, I don't know. And that sounds harsh, but it's true. Like even kids his age, it's easier for a high school student to not have to deal with that. If, you know, Sam is, to me, he's perfect. I mean, to me, he's Sam and.
Yeah, he's your baby.
He's my baby. Anybody doing such amazing things.
Yes.
And you just, I've witnessed it that just, I just want to scream from like a mountaintop, like give him a chance, let him in.
Well, and do a little effort.
Yeah. Because he's doing effort all the time. He's making an effort all the time.
Right. And one of the things that I've noticed with people that I've met who are on the spectrum, the way I look at it is they kind of have a superpower. Mm-hmm. And it's just they just see the world in a different lens than us. And it's just a gift. It's just differently. But I think people, like you said, like what I've seen is just they hit that glass wall and then they just kind of give up because it's work.
Yeah, absolutely. And even with like, with the word, you know, different or, because I do think Sam is different, but I am too. And so are you. And he is not different than anybody else. I mean, we're all different. And, you know, like, I know that clinically autism is specified as a disability, but if we want to get technical, we're all disabled.
Yeah, you don't do math at all.
I was actually going to bring that up. I'm glad we must be so connected tonight because I was going to bring that up. Yeah, the word disorder is so harsh. Oh my God.
I hate it because even if you see somebody that truly does have like disability, that means not, can't, I'm sure that exists, but I tend to look at someone like, okay, but what can they do?
Right.
So there are things that Sam can't do. Sam can't drive right now. It's too much. There's too many things going on and his brain can't handle that. If you give me a math test, I'm screwed. I'm not going to pass it. So
we're in the same boat there, Gina. I'm not good with math.
For a reason. So, but I guess
I'm an English brain person.
Yeah, yeah, you are for sure.
That's why I'm like her, which is also a good thing, but also a pain in the butt.
You like what?
Being like you is a pain in the butt, but also a good thing.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I love it. I love being like you. You're not boring.
Sam and I are very, our personalities are very similar in that we butt heads.
Yeah, but the one they do like about is you're not boring. I will give you that.
Thanks.
You love it.
I mean, that's a huge compliment, Mom. That's a huge and it's on the internet, which means you can't take it back.
Hey, for all our viewers, she's done a shoot dance and broke her back.
I did not break my back. I'm pretty old and I teach eighth graders and Sam always brings this up.
Because it's hilarious.
He thinks it's so funny.
Because you tried to be like the kids and you failed.
Yeah, the kids were trying to teach me a dance. they were trying to teach me a dance, and I was like, oh, that doesn't look too bad. And of course, they're like 30 years younger than I am. So they talked me into trying it. And like the first kick, my back went out.
Oh no.
And they were like, oh, Mrs. Mitchell. And I was like, this is your fault. I'm old. We know that I'm old.
You get points for trying. That's bravery and vulnerable, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. Well, so, you know, that's kind of funny.
So
you know, you tried the floss before.
Yeah. I tried the floss and that didn't work.
It didn't work.
You are adventurous.
I'm sorry.
You are adventurous.
Yeah. I like to try. I like to stay young. Like I'm not, but the kids keep me.
Oh, and she embarrasses me 24/7 in public.
Oh, what does she do, Sam? Tell me.
Dance. Oh, I love it. I does a Bobby. I love it. Sometimes I'll dance with her.
Yeah, we get crazy, don't we?
Yeah.
What about singing? Any singing? Because I like to bring out in music. I like to break out in musical numbers.
No, but Mom, why don't you sing something for us?
Really bad about it.
I don't think, let's see. Let's hear you sing Thunderstruck.
No, I'm not doing it.
It's Friday night. It's filter free Friday.
Come on, Mom.
I have to. Well,
do it. No, I'm kidding.
He always, and I do. Like, I just break out in song. And he has, I don't know how many videos if he has of me dancing in the car.
Oh, so it just sounds like there's a lot of, you know, even though you face a lot of adversity and struggles, they're just, you know, so much joy. Like when I was, you know, I listened to some of your podcast, Sam, and one of the things that I noticed was like, you just have the most gentle voice and energy. And I just was like so drawn in. And I it was just like, it was so loving and happy.
I think so too.
I do.
Yeah.
No, I'm surprised. I'm not like that. I know that. I mean, I'll do like a rock song or something like that.
Well, but no, I think that when he started this, you know, I thought when he started, he got into the media club and I listened to a couple of his episodes of Thundercast from his school podcast. That's kind of where it started. But I was like, his voice is like fit for this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you're very gentle.
He does, yeah.
Yeah, I'm soft. SAWF or teddy bear too. But
hey, the world needs it. We need more teddy bears.
Well, I always joke around, there's like two size me, or it's a wrestler thing, it's the Fiend. That's my one of my favorites. It's hurt and heal. The heal part is, yes, I do like to help people. Yes, I'm a gentle voice, but yes, I do hurt. I don't mean like physical hurt. I'm not gonna like cut her up or anything with a knife or anything. Oh geez, no, I feel awful. I think I peed.
So can you tell me a little bit more about your experiences in the podcast? Like you've had a lot of great people on your show. You've been on a lot of shows. Like what are some experiences that you've had since you've done, you know, your own show?
Definitely experiences I've had is I've been on newspapers, TV. My mom was going Ellen.
Yeah, I'm gonna go.
Oh wow.
Well, we want to.
That's a you thing. I want Mick Foley on my show personally. That's my thing.
Well, what else have you done as far as like with your publicity and stuff?
Maybe newspapers though. Magazines.
Newspapers, magazines.
Sponsors.
Yeah, that's.
Yes, tell me about that.
That's been the big
thing. We'll give a shout out to them. We like to thank Wellspring Pain Solutions in Bloomfield when they help you with your nerves.
Bloomington.
I thought it was Bloomfield.
No, Bloomington. Oh,
I'll be darned. Perfection Auto Glass, CPA Tax Service, Fowler's Pumpkin Patch, or Fowler's Farm, or Wedding Barn, or whatever the heck it's called these days. Mm-hmm. And Salon 45. There's one more I'm forgetting. Hmm. Green County General Hospital.
Commercial Service.
I understand that.
Okay.
Wow. You were like getting the support of your community.
Yeah, that was a game changer. That has made me really have a second full-time job.
Oh, yeah. I bet, because you're managing this all, right?
I manage all of it. And like I said, he makes the decisions and it's his, but if he doesn't have help there, it would be too much for anybody.
Yeah.
That would be, especially working full-time or going to school full-time.
Yeah, I'd be coming home with a lot of red. I'd be coming home with purple on my head. Well, or red, you know.
Yeah.
Like stressed, not like exploding mad, but like
stressed.
You'd just be stressed out.
Yeah, like red would be on my face, like
right.
Like not like that.
But the sponsors changed it. The sponsors changed the whole ballgame.
Great.
Which has been cool.
That's amazing. So if you, you know, what would you like people to know about autism, or, you know, what are, you know, some of your experiences of what you would like people to know of how to deepen and expand their understanding of autism, and what they could do to, like you said, to help with the evolution of it and to fight the stigma?
Okay. Talk to us, really, and just talk to us like everyone else. That's the best thing you can do.
Okay.
Really.
Yeah.
And what else?
Well, just what do you want people that are listening right now, or when he posts it later, what do you want them to know about autism?
That we are not dumb. Yes, I don't drive. Yes, I probably don't do the, I don't want to take out the trash, yet I still do.
I don't either.
Well, yeah, that's all the thing. Yes, I don't, I probably don't do laundry the best. I don't fold my clothes the best, but yet I still do podcasts pretty darn well.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, but same, I'm starting to learn to grill. I can probably learn how to grill.
Yeah, that's kind of the big thing too, is there would be so much frustration when he was, you know, like an adolescent, and then he was like a teenager. It just, things were just hard for him, but he was very good at a lot of things, but
right.
There were a lot of struggles. But now he's coming into himself, and he's exploring, you know, different things, and he wants right. Like my husband was grilling the other night, and Sam was like, I want to do this.
Ooh.
Yeah, I feel like cooking is a little harder. Like in the kitchen, I get overwhelmed easily.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But I thought maybe if cooking's not working, let's just try grilling. What's the worst that can happen is it's like cooking.
Right, right.
But it wasn't as bad as I thought.
Mm-hmm. Oh, nice. What are some things, you know, I'm just wondering, you know, because I have a lot of educators who listen too. What are some things in the school system, you know, that you've gone through, or maybe in like higher ed that you think they need to know, or that they don't understand?
Let us use our resources, and please give us a chance.
Yeah, I bet.
I love that he uses his resources, because as a teacher myself, I teach middle school. I've seen so many kids on the spectrum or that have challenges, and they're so embarrassed. They're so embarrassed at the middle school, high school level, you know, to have a test read or to have extended time or to get extra help. And I always try to say, I always tell the kids that feel like that, I always look at them and say, do you think that I get through life without help? Mm-hmm. I mean, do you think that, you know, and I've had kids come in for extra help, and they say, I feel dumb, I don't want to be in here, I'm dumb. And then I say, I have a math disability, do you think that I'm dumb? And they look at me like, no, you're my teacher. Like, yeah. I said, but it's the same thing,
right?
And right. So that's I'm glad that Sam said that. Like, just
yes.
We've always encouraged him, like, go to the resource room 6 times a day if you need to.
Yes.
And don't be ashamed of it. And he's not. So
do you see any resistance or any issues with teachers or classmates when he does that?
Ooh.
With him using his resources?
Yes.
Not that I notice, but they are, they're idiots. Well, that's the nicest way I'm going to put it. I'm sorry. I know it comes across blunt, but it's true.
Hey, it's filter-free Friday, Sam. Like, you can pretty much ride it, buddy.
As far as his, yeah, I mean, he's right. That's, well, and it's against the law. It's against the law.
Yeah.
I will say, we won't say the school name or anything.
Right.
But the school that he goes to, I teach there.
And I think they're phenomenal with disabled.
They are phenomenal.
That's the reason why I go there. I mean, I don't think they make smart decisions sometimes, I'll be honest.
Well, schools don't sometimes.
Yeah. But I can look back and be like, you know, I feel good with this school. I think this school will be good for anyone on the spectrum, wheelchair, physical, mental, emotional. I think this school's good.
They've got a superb special education team. And it's
That's school. Wonderful.
It's a very small school, but I mean, I'm a little biased because it's my job and I've
done
it for years, but even had I not, I mean, I would have put Sam through there, because they are phenomenal.
Oh, that's excellent. I'm so glad to hear that. Yeah. Because, you know, sometimes it's when you have, I'm going to use the word different, like in just general, like if anyone's classified as different, sometimes that just opens that door for ridicule, which just makes everything so much harder. Well, unnecessarily.
The kids have, I mean, I have seen that over the years, but you know, when you classify kids versus adults, I mean, kids are, I love kids. I teach them every day and they're, right. they're phenomenal. They're so incredibly intelligent. But on the flip side of that, it's just, it's a different mentality. It's a different perspective. And I just think about families that have special needs children who right. don't know the laws. They don't right. understand IEPs. And I do. And so I've always felt fortunate, like Sam would come home and say, hey, this happened. And I would be like, well, I'm going to call them tomorrow because I know, like I sit in conferences. And so I feel like we kind of had that on our side. Yeah. I was like mama bear.
Yeah. And that's that, you know, that's another reason why I do the podcast. We can get into that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, some of the stuff, I've had Mama Bear's Canada come out several times. Let's put it that way.
Yep.
And that's another reason I do podcasts because it's therapeutic. Because some of the stuff I've never told her, and it's not for the bad, it's not because I'm scared to tell her. It's protecting her from herself. That's the nicest way to put it. And I don't want
to. So
she
doesn't get stressed out or Mama Bear comes out? Is that what you mean?
Plus, I'm just trying to protect her.
Right. Really. Yeah, I get that.
So,
yeah.
So some of the stuff I've sounded, that's how I felt. And I never told her I felt. And because I was just trying to protect her.
Sometimes it's I mean.
For 16 years.
Especially his earlier ones. I've listened and I mean, he'll be done. And he's always let me listen to him before he publishes them. And I'll look at him and be like, that really happened? And I mean, I think he told me most things, but yeah. I mean, boys don't tell their moms everything.
Right. I mean, that's why I'm doing it though, to tell you.
Yeah. Yeah. To get it off your chest. I understand that.
Yeah.
So one of the things that I liked on your website too is the frequently asked questions. And when you look at it, it had some really helpful information. And one of the pieces that you put on there was about how COVID has affected people who are on the autism spectrum. Could you tell me a little bit more about your experiences with that? Because it's really, I mean, it's affected everyone in such unique and different ways. Like what have you encountered since COVID's taken over?
Oh boy, where do we start?
Yeah. Well, I think I'm better now, but when it first started, it was awful. I told my mom basically, okay, I have really bad anticipatory anxiety. And okay. The problem is with me, it's kind of simple. Like, are we going to eat ice cream today? It's not the yes or no. It's knowing. I mean, it's not something like silly as that, but or something simple as that. But when you say, mom, when is this going to end? And you would have told me. If she would have told me this would end by this, it would have ended by Christmas of 2024. Okay, cool. I can work with it, hopefully.
Right.
But no, you didn't know, did you?
No, I mean, that's the biggest, there's no gray area.
For right.
People that are on the spectrum, they're black and white.
Right.
And when COVID hit, it was like, okay, like we'll get through this. And then it kept going on. And finally he said, somebody's going to have to tell me when this is going to be over. And it was hard to explain. Yeah, somebody needs to tell me that too.
Yes, yes.
I'm really frustrated. And that was the hardest thing, is not knowing. And still not knowing.
Right.
I mean, still being in, a year later, being in the midst of it, it getting better, granted. But
oh, it's way better than it was when it first started.
Yeah, but there's still, just even today. Today, he got in the car after school and said, I'm stressed. You know, I'm thinking about this and I'm thinking about that. I mean, this was just like 5 hours ago where we had to kind of work through things. And
is your school fully in person? Is it hybrid? Is it what have you been doing?
Okay. So it's a long schedule. So we first started back normally.
Like a year ago.
Yeah. Then we went to hybrid. Then we went to full virtual learning till, what would you say, about like, till about now, actually, I think. No, I'm sorry. Till about February, we went back to hybrid. Now we're back in full person.
Yeah, we've gone back and forth. And now what is crazy is it's really not COVID. We missed a week of school because of weather.
Oh.
And then like we did e-learning days. So I was able to work from home and the kids like, you know, remoted in. But then now we could, the middle school could potentially be virtual next week. Because we had let's see, what was it? We had a couple of elementary classes quarantined because of exposure. And in those classes, they are teachers' children. And so now the teachers in the middle school, they have to stay home as well.
Oh, wow.
And so when I go to school on Monday, I'm the only eighth grade teacher that will be there, because all of the other ones, their children were exposed. And so our school might actually be, and it is directly from COVID, I guess, but that may happen to us next week, just from that circumstance. So it's like a matter of subs.
And so how do you handle that in your family with that? Because one of the things that you were saying is that change is so difficult. How have you managed to ride those waves in the last year? Because that sounds really difficult.
I don't.
Okay. Hey.
We get to talk about it every day. If that helps, so be it.
Yeah.
So what do you do? What happens? Like, how do you handle it?
Lots of talks.
Like, and lots of dancing, maybe?
Oh, I've done that. But sometimes that doesn't.
Dance out the frustrations?
You should be dancing. Yeah. Well, no, like, no, I'm kidding. I just watched a sequel, Me, with my little cousin, so that's why I have that.
yeah, that's what I was going to say, is it's just I don't even try to explain it.
Exhausting.
Like, well, but it's exhausting. But on the flip side of that, from a parent standpoint, I just think kids are exhausting.
Yeah.
So if you talk to any mom, I'm sure, or dad, or an aunt who's raising a family, whoever, nobody is going to say, oh, when I raised my child, you know, they're 19 now, it was perfect.
Right.
I was never stressed. You're not.
Nice try, buddy. Better luck next time.
They're all stressful. And so I feel like every family has something
right
to deal with. So, but yeah, lots of, you know, like there for a while, especially when he had some tough years, it would be the same conversation every day, but we would be able to talk about it for a little while and then he could kind of move on. And if that's what happens, then that's what has to happen.
So, and this might be a random question, but did it, even though it was difficult, you know, when you finally had that diagnosis and you had to go kind of through that grieving process, I would imagine, or the acceptance process, did that make some of the situations easier or more difficult for you?
Well, at first it was really difficult, but it was almost like a relief, because I pretty much knew that he had autism, because I had some students that were on the spectrum in my class. So kind of knew. I wasn't really trained in that area, but I knew some of the behaviors. So when I remember the behavioral psychologist, she looked at us from across the table and she was like, I don't want to freak you out when I say this, but he's probably autistic. And my husband and I were like, yeah, we know that. Like, that's, but then it kind of like sinks in. And but it did make it easier to find resources and
to be cool.
He was struggling, like between the ages of like six to eight-ish.
I'll be honest, I was an a-hole. I mean, that's the nicest way to put it.
Well, you kind of were, but
hey, but keeping it real.
But at the same time, it was so much of things he couldn't help. It was, you know, we had to kind of navigate through that, but I couldn't really take him anywhere because I had no idea like what was going to set him off. But so that was kind of harder. But finally, when things were pretty bad with him, I read him a book, and it was called, when he was six, it was called Sam Has Asperger's, had like his name in it.
Oh my God, I love that. That
was perfect. So we read it, and at the end, he was like, I have this, don't I? And I said,
oh, wow.
Yes, you do. Well, because I knew it, A. B, I kind of could tell where you were going. That's one of the talents with autistic people. They're very observant, and they can tell something that might happen before someone else does.
Right. Did you find that helpful, Sam, to read that book with your mom?
Oh, yeah. It was still helpful. I'm glad we did it, but I'm just saying I can tell some.
Yeah.
I can tell some before it happens. Like, all right, this is gonna happen already. Just then you can, but you like I can see a sixth fast. Like she probably, like, oh, that happened. I'd be like, I knew it was gonna happen.
Yeah.
Great. So kind of like a sixth sense.
Yeah. Yep. The book too. I just remember him telling me, I'm so glad I know this now, because it would have to be confusing to a little kid that is just having a complete meltdown because of how they're feeling and they can't communicate it to you and they have no idea like why it's happening. So to put a name to it was, it seemed very helpful to us, for all of us. So
that's amazing, and I love the name.
That's because of rock music. I love rock music so much.
Oh, your podcast. Yeah.
I mean,
the sound of rock and metal is just so cool, and just
it was like it was written in the stars.
I'm sorry.
So, can you tell me a little bit about that in the music, how it ties in, or how you came up with the name?
Sure. Well, it was going to be Inside Autistic Brain. I thought, yeah, that's boring. I was like, okay. So what am I interested in? Maybe we can find something interesting. Well, time goes on. We go down the interest. We learn we love rock music. We can do autism rock and roll, but taken. I thought rocks and roll, taken. Rock and rolls, taken. Okay, let's try S's. Rocks and rolls wasn't taken. We found it.
Ooh, winning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was cool. And it was neat that he did that too. Like he thought, well, I want it to be this, but I'm going to research and see what else is out there about this. And
so, yeah, I'm just letting you know right now, I'm making money. The goal was never to make money. It was really to help people.
Right.
And find something to do.
Right. And it sounds like you're, you know, knocking out of the park doing all of it.
Yeah. I think he's helped. And not just people that have autism. I remember very early in his journey, at Indiana University in Bloomington, Indiana, they wanted to interview Sam for like their college newspaper. And that was one of the first publications that he did. It was so cool. But I remember the young lady that interviewed him, she was kind of timid and really quiet, but she was so sweet. And she said, and I don't think he had very many episodes out then.
No.
But she was like,
I had an anxiety one though.
Yeah, he had an anxiety one, and she said, I have anxiety. And I listened to that, and that helped me so much. And wow. That was the first time that I was like, oh, Sam, this is going to help people.
Yeah, I love that. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
But, one thing, if you don't mind me asking, is that I wanted to go back to that you shared of when you were going through this of the, you know, getting the diagnosis. Is one thing that I've heard from parents is sometimes huge resistance to even getting testing because they're so afraid that quote unquote diagnosis is going to ruin their child's life. What would you say to those parents?
They
try again, you're wrong. That's the first thing I'd say. Second of all,
I love that.
Second of all, I'd say, okay, if you're going to get your child, it's probably, but do what's better for the child, not what's better for you.
Right.
In reality, getting him or her tested is way better than trying to hide it.
Yeah. So.
But that's going to be a tough life.
But on the flip side of that, I understand. Like, I do get it to a point, but I never really went there. I don't know. I've always wanted to make a difference.
Right.
And, you know, I mean, I am a teacher and I've always wanted to, you know, obviously I'm not in it for the money. But
I get mad at that. I think teachers should get more paid, more money.
I agree, Sam.
But I guess my thing was, I knew Sam and I've always known Sam's smart. Sam has paid attention and, okay, like once I kind of got through my grieving part, you know, like we got to do this. I mean, this is our child and he, whatever path that he goes down, we just need to do the very best we can. And so now, like now looking in, now that he's going to be 19 years old, I mean, I feel pretty strongly, like Sam does, you cannot be in denial. I mean,
right.
It's easy to be,
right.
Because, and I've met parents. I mean, I won't say that, but I know people that are like, they don't tell them. They don't tell, I knew somebody one time, the kid had been like formally diagnosed and they didn't tell his teachers.
Oh my gosh.
Because they were like, well, we don't want the teachers to treat him differently.
Yes, I've heard that.
I'm like, are you kidding me? He needs assist.
That's why they exist.
Yeah. So that would be my biggest thing is you cannot be in denial. If they have it, they have it. And I don't want to say who cares that they have it, because it is a big thing, but you gotta, instead of fighting against it, there has to be some embracing of this is it. These are the cards and we are gonna, you know, we're gonna do this. And I like often look at Sam and think, what if he didn't have autism?
Right.
That would be,
that
would be horrifying.
Oh, that's horrifying.
I mean, why would we do that?
Why? Right, because he wouldn't be Sam.
No, he is not in any way, shape, or form broken.
Right.
Nobody needs to fix him, and
yeah,
he needs to embrace him.
Yeah, I'm embracing. I am eccentric, brown person.
Yeah, baby.
I love it. Now, what the other thing, and I hope you don't mind me asking, is if there are parents out there, you know, and students and kids who are dealing with this, what resources are there? Like, where would you go? Is it your pediatrician? Is it the school? What would you recommend? Are there national organizations that you would recommend?
Yeah. So first of all, good question. Really good question, may I add?
Thanks.
No problem, dude. I would say definitely pediatrician as a source to know. And I would say I got tested. Did I get tested by a school psychologist?
It was a behavior psychologist.
Okay, thank you. And maybe trying to find the school behavior psychologist if you have one. I mean, I don't know if that's possible or not, but
okay.
Maybe that could be a source. And they can help you out a little bit. And if they do, put them in inclusion classes is the nicest way to put it, honestly.
Well, yeah, or general ed classes, which means inclusion. Like if the child is able and, you know, is high functioning autism, it's, I don't think that a school should ever look at a kid and say, oh, they have something wrong. We're going to put them in this room. Never happen.
No, if they can go into a general ed classroom, put them in there.
But then there are certain.
Yeah, but then there are circumstances where they need to be in that one room
to be successful. But we kind of went through that when he was first diagnosed. It was never like, it was kind of a weird situation. You know, it was almost like, well, he has autism and he's really struggling. And, you know, he would go to his preschool class and he did it for like 2 years and he cried. And it was tough. But when he got to kindergarten, it was like questionable to them, you know, do we want to put Sam in a resource room? And I was adamant and said, absolutely not. And so had they done that, he would not have gone to that school.
Right.
But we were huge pushers of, for him, you're not putting him in a separate room. So he's been in inclusion classes since preschool.
Yeah, I've been in like for your fifth hour inclusion. Now that one time it wasn't, but nowadays in high school, they don't get really like inclusion classes, I would say.
You have a float pass.
Yeah, I was talking about the float pass is you go to, you get the general lesson, like the lecture or what else? Or you do your thing, or the notes, or whatever school lesson you're doing. Then when it's downtime or homework time, you just go down and be like, hey, I got the float pass. Can I go down to the Learning Resource Center and work there, please? And get some help, extra help. And they're like, sure, go down.
Yep.
Wow, I love that. Now, have you experienced, you know, maybe not just with you, Sam, but maybe in other people you know, is any specific correlation with mental health issues, like, you know, increase of anxiety or depression or social anxiety, anything like that, that maybe
Oh.
we should be aware of in the mental health field?
Well, do you want me to answer that?
Oh, I was gonna
Oh,
answer. Do
yeah, go
you
for
want
it.
to answer?
No, go right
All
ahead.
right. Well, I guess we're both talk. I guess we both we're gonna talk at the same time.
Okay.
But
So you got the floor.
I would say yes. I mean, is there a chance of being there using back anxiety? Yes. But is it guaranteed? No. I don't think so. I don't think it's guaranteed.
No,
But
most,
there's a chance.
yeah, absolutely. Most people, from what we've learned over the years, I would say, I don't, and I won't quote the percentage because I don't know for sure, but a very high percentage of people that are on the spectrum usually have something else that's classified as a challenge or a condition or something. So lots of people on the spectrum will have ADHD, or they'll have anxiety or depression.
Okay.
The lots of studies have been coming out, a big correlation between Down syndrome and autism now. And so I thought that was, and it's probably been like that for a while, but I thought that was
Yeah.
interesting. But usually there's something else. So Sam has ADHD as well. And then he's never been diagnosed with an anxiety disorder, but I mean, he struggles with
Yeah,
anxiety,
I
so.
think I sometimes I got like anxiety and depression sometimes,
Yeah.
like not like as like a not like a something on the sideline, but sometimes like a disorder
I
some days.
it's almost like COVID with depression, with Sam, with being really upset about things that just seemed like that triggered for a lot, for everybody, I
Yeah,
think.
but I think it was before that too.
You think so?
Yeah.
Yeah. But
And do you, sorry, my internet's a little wonky, so I apologize if my response is a little
oh, you're okay. Yeah, you're good.
delayed. So, and have you found that with the different mental health diagnoses that there it's been appropriate responses to that as well to meet your needs, Sam? If you've experienced any of those?
Well, he means, do you feel like the services and everything that you've gotten, do you feel like that helped you with everything that you've
Oh
experienced?
yeah, sure. I know what you
Okay.
mean now. Yes, I think 100%. I think back then I would tell you no because I
Okay.
wanted to be social, but now I would say yes
Okay.
because I'm trying to fit all the three in. But I will say this, and this is a fun fact about me. Another resource that helped that we didn't mention is Taekwondo. Honestly, that's a big resource. I'm a black belt in Taekwondo.
No way.
Yes, sir.
Almost
That's amazing.
he's almost a second degree, but took a break, so
I don't think I don't think I'm going back. It just after you do it for 5 years, it's time to do something else.
Well, I mean, like take over the world, the podcast world, and I mean, I look for it, and I hope we stay connected because, like, I just want to be like support and be part of your journey because this is just amazing.
We will.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, the black belt, the karate, it was really, he was 10, and
I didn't focus well. Let's put it, that's the nicest way to put it.
well, he wasn't focusing, but he also was being like pretty disrespectful sometimes and a little bit like aggressive. Like he would just kind of like throw things around. And so we were like, we're gonna have to like, because he really wasn't involved in anything, because he was never really competitive at anything. And so we got him started with karate, and oh my gosh, with that the instructor is amazing. Actually, say,
They fell in love with me.
what number was
Well,
it?
I mean, of course.
129.
So if you go back to his podcast at any point and you listen to 129,
Okay.
he had his karate instructors on there.
Or season one, episode 29.
Yeah, and they're incredible people, but I loved them because they knew that Sam had autism and they understood, but it's almost like, but when he's on this mat, he's going to follow all rules. And
Oh, well,
he's
yeah.
going. And so they were so wonderful with a balance of, we're going to be patient. But, you know, I remember one time I always had to help him tie his belt until like later
Yeah, until like
into it.
late. So I finally understood it.
And so finally, I was helping, but then he was out on the mat one day.
And it was falling loose.
And it was completely out of control. Like, it was loose, and it was falling, and he was really struggling, and it was hard to watch him.
Right.
And, you know, I wanted to, like, go out there and rescue him. And I looked at his, it was, like, the chief master, or like, the person in charge, and I said, sir, can I go out and help him with his belt? And he went, no, ma'am. And I just thought... But I need to.
Oh, yeah. I was going to say Mama Bear's going to come out.
Like, nope. He said he'll, because he made him get off the mat to the side until he figured it out. And it took like 3 minutes and he figured it out and was back on the mat.
Wow. That must have been hard for you. Like, you know,
but at least I got it on there to stay on there.
Yeah. It was.
Yeah.
It was, I'm just like, oh my gosh, it was
that, pretty hard. That's got to be hard as a parent, you know, like there's like that mama bear, you know, how do you find that balance? Like there are things that you have to do, but then also they need to develop the skills and learn how to be independent. That's got to be a really difficult balance.
Yeah, it still is to this day, especially since he turned 18. We, you know, we don't have guardianship over him or anything. We chose watch it or I will. We decided not to, just because we didn't want him. We wanted him to go in the direction of, you know, like being an adult. So, but to this day, like I still have to back off when, you know, to let him learn things on his own. So
yeah, I mean, down up best cooking, but yet you guys both did really well backing off with the grill. You let me do that. I appreciate that.
We try to.
There just sounds like so much love and joy in this family. Like it's just been an absolute honor to have you on Friday Night Feels tonight.
Of course. But I'm just going to tell you, I want to be in the house if there's an argument.
I mean, it's family. Come on, Sam. Like, I'm a lot older than you, and there's always going to be arguments.
We're not like perfect guardian angels. We're like a family at the same time.
You're real. You're real. But you come together, and you know that's a loving family. You're keeping it real.
In the end.
Hey, remember that unicorn shirt? Keeping it real. Maybe that'll come useful for once. I'll explain the story with that.
Okay.
So, unicorn shirt. I decided to get my friend for her birthday once upon a time a gag gift. Like a little joke. He hates condiments. So I got him some barbecue and some mustard.
That's and awesome.
As payback, he decided to get me a shirt that looked like
a unicorn shirt.
A unicorn shirt that I wasn't going to wear at all because
it was a girly.
A shirt that a girl would wear.
Right.
With a bra on.
Okay.
That's the story behind.
You know, you're probably all gonna all of a sudden get unicorn stuff, right? From from New York.
At this point in my life,
you'll take it.
Well, I also used to like not like being the butt of the joke, honestly, but I love it now in a good way, though.
He loves jokes now and puns. Where, you know, when he was growing up, a lot of times people that are on the spectrum, they don't really get jokes because there's like this gray area. But because my dad. Loves to tell jokes and joke, and so he got Sam on board with that.
And I share puns with him every day. It's now it's kind of an obsession.
So as we end tonight, is there any you know, and once again, thank you so much for, you know, both of you for making the time to join us on Friday Night Feels, and I hope that you come back and keep me in the loop if there's any projects I can help you with. You know, definitely let me know. But is there anything else, like one piece of advice that you would like to leave with us tonight?
Be nice or request. Be stupid.
What'd you say?
Be nice and don't be stupid.
Yeah, that's
so be true. Nice and don't be stupid. All right, I can go with that.
The don't be stupid part's kind of hard for me, I'll admit it, but
I highly doubt that.
That would be, I mean, really, he says that a lot, and at first I was like, gosh, Sam, that sounds really rude. But then if you think about it, if the whole world would just do those, like, be nice.
Yeah.
And don't be stupid. If they did those two things, so many problems would be solved in this world.
Yeah, just have a little compassion.
Absolutely. I will say our website, because that is really, like you had said, is really where everything is. There is even a link now for sponsorship website.
I'm not that far in life yet.
With paperwork and a form to fill out if anybody wants to sponsor Sam and buy ad space. So everything is there. So autismrocksandrolls.com is like the place to look.
Okay, great. And what I'll do is when I post this, I'll put the website so people can see it and then be able to support you in your journey of evolving the world.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much for coming, folks. I hope you have a great weekend.
You too.
Take care.
Stay safe. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.